Whoa. Welcome back to the Flawed Podcast. My name is Peter Larsson. And in this inspirational, educational, and motivational episode, we'll talk about the six principles of influence by Robert Cialdini, written, I would guess, 15 years ago, something like that. It's in my top 10 best books that I deeply recommend. And the reason I recommend it is multifaceted, but in essence, if you want to influence others, this is a good mental model. And if you don't want to be influenced by other people, for instance, salespersons, it's extremely beneficial to know how you could be manipulated and influenced. And also, as a wisdom worker slash security professional, you know, now in the world, if you just have internet, you know that everything is about security, or a lot of things is about security. And if you read books or study, it's usually not the technical things that is the problem. One of the most famous in history, Kevin Mitnick, he was of course very tech savvy, but he was one of the first social engineers. And social engineering used these six principles of influence to get what they want. So that was, you know, a prologue to the importance of this mental model, this mental framework. So let's mention these six and then go through them one by one. First one is reciprocity. Second one is scarcity. Third one is authority. Fourth one is commitment and consistency. And sixth one is social proof, or you could also call it liking or consensus. So first one, reciprocity, is a hard word for a Swede. But reciprocity means you give me something, I'll give you something back. This is just the social code for us social animals. If you invite me to your wedding, it would be very socially awkward and strange if I don't invite you, and that might arise a conflict. So how is this used? Well, for instance, you get things for free from, you know, Sverige Lotteriet or any other form of, they try to sell you things. They're nice, they give you one flower in a public square for free, and then, you know, they look at you, shouldn't you give something back, you give whatever you want, etc. Okay, so, good to know. Second thing is scarcity. Scarcity, also fancy word, if you ask me, in English, but it means that something has high value if it's scarce, and scarcity, that is, exists less of those things. So just look at the world. Gold, for instance, it's one of the rarest metals, and that's why its value so high. In case of gold, just to mention it, the gold also has very good qualities that also make it variable. But if you put art, for instance, that's one really good example, or clothes, fancy clothes, art that is very rare, you know, limited edition, etc. So if you know this, that scarcity is also a thing that you can be manipulated. Normally when you go into a shop, it says this is, you know, limited edition, just for a certain time period. Something ticks in your brain and you have to act now, otherwise you'll miss it. So it's FOMO as well. And that also in the human brain makes it more attractive. And third one is authority. And authority is, because we are social animals, we have a pecking order, you know, or in the military we call it ranks. So there's an alpha and a beta, etc. So someone is boss, and we are designed to follow the orders from the boss. And in this case, there's a very famous experiment called the Milgram experiment, if I remember correctly, where an authority figure in a lab told a person, you know, very authoritative, to increase the level of electric shock to a person behind a wall so to that degree that that person was clearly in agony, clearly in pain, and also in some cases that person would have been killed. And you could Google that and look it up, but this is used in social engineering in, for instance, that someone calls you and say that they are an important CEO, that they're a doctor, some other authority figure, and they want you to act quickly. Or in the military, you know, this is an order. And every information security course that you take that is serious, you should question this. So that would be a solution to that one. So good to know. Fourth one is commitment and consistency. And this is, you could use it both ways, but consistency is that you say that you love to, let's say, train. And then someone asks you, want to go train? And then, no. But you have this invisible obligation now to do it. And it's used against you in something called the yes ladder. So salesperson, when they knock on your door, they say, hey, are you a nice person? And you say, yes. Do you like nice people? Yes, etc. And then after a while, you have to be consistent what you said. And they, of course, start in general terms, drilling down. And then all of a sudden, so now you told me that you liked this and this and this and this. So you must now, for the rest of your life, give me 100 euros every month to this course. Otherwise, you will not be true to your statement. If you know this, you could break the chain very easily and say, for instance, this Sverige Lotteriet, a Swedish gambling firm, asked me, do you know this guy? And they put in a picture, showed me a picture of the leader for that organization. And I said, no. And then he was stunned. He never heard anyone who hasn't seen this. I, of course, lied in this case just to prove a point. So that's one example that you can break it. And liking is the fifth one. Liking is, we have a tendency to agree with people or follow people that we like. And this is very obvious. You know, you could, for instance, one of my heroes is Elon Musk. And then I like him. You know, I don't know him, but I like him because what he's done. But when I read, you know, the autobiographies of that guy, it doesn't sound like a guy that I want to go out and drink beers with or hang out with. He seems like very rude, not really socially, compatible with me. But I might be wrong. But that's just one example. So I have to, you know, check my own cognitive biases because then I have a tendency to like whatever that guy creates. And of course, I do not. Life and my mental framework and all of ours mental frameworks are more nuanced than that. So, you know, we also tend to like good-looking people, which is also very important to know. And this you could see in, you know, recruitment and so on too. Perhaps exactly same experience, but one is more good-looking, then you tend to like that more. And then the last one is social proof, also called consensus. So, one of the things by being human is that we're herd animals. We talked about this in, you know, high value person or value scale episode as well. And you could try to deny it if you're a hermit, but we are. It's not a matter of if. And then our brain reward us quite a lot if we conform to a group. This means that if you live in an area, or let's take the example from the book, in the hotel, they put up signs in this example that in 80% of the people who lived in this room used the towel for more than 2 days or something like that. And that it was not really true, if I remember correctly, but that increased the conformity for the people in this study. And social proof is, of course, this is also once again this Sverige Lotteriet guys. They use, I talked to all your neighbors and all of them really like what we're doing. All of them are subscribers. And you can challenge this, of course, and say, are all of them really subscribers? Who did you talk to specifically? And you could also realize that you're being manipulated to conform. And this goes both ways, of course.
So
you could use it in influencing others by, you know, I could tell you guys that 99% of the people listening to the Flawed podcast are subscribing to the newsletter. 80% are subscribing or purchased the course. 50% of them purchased training sessions by Peter. This is not true, but I'm just making things up. And you can feel that, I should also do it because I, associate myself with Flawed audience. That's, you know, my kind of people. CrossFit uses this extremely elegant to build this community. And in this case, community is a good thing. But in other, for instance, religious cults, it's a very bad thing in some cases. When everything is to the extreme, that's very bad. And the problem with cults and social proofs is if you're too tightly knitted into that social group, you will not dare to see other ways of looking at it. It was so when Darwin, you know, created his thesis of human evolution, people didn't really want to see it because, we cannot be related to apes. We're descendants from God. And I mean, this is just one example. Same with Galileo Galilei, you know, when he mentioned that the world doesn't surround or the universe doesn't revolve around the Earth. Earth. And now, this was a very long episode. And I've been wanting to write a blog post about this social engineering tactics, or rather these six principles from the Chialdini book. But this will suffice for now, as I also written a blog post about it in my top 10 recommendations for books. So let's summarize now and create some actions. So there are six principles. Actually, he added a seventh one, but I haven't read the seventh one and I don't really know it, so I will not talk about it in this class. So, first one is reciprocity. Give something to me, I give something to you. Scarcity, if it's not as common, is highly is considered more valuable. Authority, when someone is in an authority position, we are likely to follow that person. Commitment and consistency. Consistency, that we are following what we on a specific path, and it's hard to deviate from that. This is related to habits as well. What's the next one? Liking and consensus and social proof. So we tend to conform to a herd or a group, and this is all of these are just as they are, but they are weaknesses and strengths depending on the context. And as a security professional, I've been working in security for over 20 years now. This is what you should really focus on: building mental resilience, knowing these mental models, knowing this framework, because then you can, you know, challenge. You dare to challenge if someone calls you from the bank saying, there's a crisis, you have to log in, and we see an error here, you have to transfer back 50,000 euros or something. And then, you know, I don't think this is good, I'll challenge you on this, please put it in writing. And I have to, you know, see you in person or something like that. So the task for this week is read up on these six principles. That's task number one. Just Google it. Task number two is to check the Flawed top 10 recommendations of books. Add them to your backlog for reading. And the third one is to actually read Robert Cialdini's Influence book. And I recommend it reading on Audible. I think it's available in Swedish as well if you have Storytel. We used to have a code for that, but we don't have it anymore. Long episode. Thank you for listening, and talk to you in the next class.